Hello again. Well, here's a sample quote from the latest report on suicide in the traveller community, which found rates in South and Southwest Dublin to be 6 times higher than in the settled community. And this comes from a focus group respondent who spoke as part of the research. Can you get me a nice home? Can you get me a job? Can you get people to stop treating us like dirt on their shoes? If the answer to these things is no, then nothing would change. A counselling session can't solve these problems for travellers. My brother took his own life. If I had the chance to talk him out of it, what hope could I offer him? I'm joined on the line by Pat Nevin of the Tala Travellers Group. Pat Nevin, thanks for joining us this evening.
Hi, Colm. How are you? Just not being pedantic. It's Patrick Nevin.
Patrick, I do beg your pardon. Patrick Nevin, thanks for joining us this evening. What we heard there from that focus group respondent is borne out by a lot of the respondents to the report that that discrimination and racism and people being feeling they are treated as different and feeling their children will be treated in different ways hugely on the self-esteem of members of the traveller community, which is a big contributor to the poor mental health.
Yeah, well, I think the main theme for me that came out of the report, just to say I'm the manager of Tala Travellers Community Development Project, and in partnership and with Clondalkin Travellers Development Group and the Ballyfermot Action, a Travellers Action Group, we went about looking at this research or seeking the support and the funding for this piece of research way back in 2021. The former manager of Clondalkin, Doreen Carpenter, was instrumental in getting that funding to do this research. We had known from anecdotal evidence from our outreach work in the community and our respective catchment areas of Tala, Clondalkin and Ballyfermot and the feedback coming in through our primary healthcare workers and indeed our community development workers that travellers on the ground, a huge amount of concern and issues and fears in relation to suicide ideation, mental health right across the board. And suffice to say that this research and the findings of this research that we launched today in the AV room in the Dáil is quite frightening overall, Colm. And I just listening to your quote there, I mean, there's quotes like that throughout. But the theme for me is that travellers on the ground, the community, are well aware of that intergenerational racism and the impact that has on intergenerational trauma and how that transfers from one generation to the other. So, yes, racism and anti-traveller racism in particular is deeply rooted in the issues that travellers face in relation to mental health and suicide.
And a lot of the issues seem to be compounded by self-medication with drink and drugs, which over time have become more prevalent amongst younger people in the traveller community as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it's only natural. Yeah, I mean, even in a toxic society, and I mean that. I mean, I make no bones about it. The historical narrative in relation to travellers since the formation of the Irish state is written there in black and white. From Dáil discussions or debates, local authority debates, right through the Senate, the anti-traveller rhetoric that has come right from the very formation of the state to the present. So travellers are living in a very toxic situation, in a very toxic society. And like any community, like anyone, from a minority or majority, if they're being oppressed and discriminated against, you turn to ways of self-medicating, and in this case, drugs and alcohol has a role to play. But I mean, just, you know, some of the other quotes. I mean, I'm just looking at one here. Do we really need more research for this? And the irony of it is that this is a piece of research that has come on the back of numerous bits of research, more research, whether it's at a national level, local level, regional level, or indeed at a European level, that highlights the same issues around the social determinants, the lack of accommodation, appropriate cultural accommodation, employment opportunities, or the lack of. 82% of the population, less than 40,000. We wouldn't have Phil Crow Park on All-Ireland Sunday if you think of it, just that image alone. And we are suffering right across a sustained and consistent and sustained I would argue, assault on travellers since the formation of the state, particularly around culture, around identity, around language, around their history, and that denial has impacted, and we're seeing that now on the ground, whether it's in South County Dublin or in further afield.
Yeah. And in spite of those major societal challenges, I suppose, there are case studies showing best practice where things have been achieved. The National Traveller Counselling Service, which is, I suppose,
bespoke
counselling, there are recommendations there for greater outreach to the community, maybe a bit more cultural training around GPs about, you know, maybe travellers needing to be accompanied to see a practitioner in order to overcome some of the blockage to it, to wanting to access service or fears they have there.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned the National Counselling Service, fabulous service. It's fantastic. And then you mentioned there around cultural competence. But one of the first recommendation in the 9 recommendations of this piece of research is cultural competence training right across all, and it should be mandatory within all services in South Dublin and Ballyfermot. We would reckon nationally, both at a private level, at public and private agencies that have a direct or are directly dealing with travellers or minority groups in general, but there needs to be cultural competence training, and it needs to be mandatory right across, because what we're dealing with here is that historical narrative of negative racism towards travellers that has buried itself right into the psyche of the Irish majority population, of superiority versus inferiority. So we need to counter that, and the only way that can be done is through that cultural competence training to be rolled out at a national level and at a regional level and right across the board, and it must be mandatory. And that's the opening recommendation in the 9 recommendations that has come out of this piece of research.
All right. Patrick Nevin from the Tala Travellers Group, thanks very much for joining us on the line this evening, and apologies for a slight bit of breakup on the line there. To you first, Lisa Chambers, there is a commitment in the programme for government for a strategy on traveller and Roma mental health.
Yeah, so the National Traveller and Roma Inclusion Strategy is government policy, and it does seek to address some of the issues that Patrick has raised there. But I think it is fair to say that, you know, we've had lots of strategies and commitments over the years, and it's still a significant issue in terms of mental health in the community. I have the privilege of serving with Senator Eileen Flynn, who launched the strategy today, and she's been a fantastic advocate for her community. But the statistics in terms of the risk of dying by suicide in that community, I think it's 7 times more likely if you're a man and 6 times more likely if you're a woman. That should raise red flags that there's significant problems there.
The respondents to the report there that Patrick was talking about was, I think, 75% of the respondents were women and 25% were men. And one of the key issues is outreach that's needed to reach those that are hard to reach, in this case, traveller men.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of focus in recent times in terms of traveller women and working within that network and focusing on children. But there are particular challenges, I think, within the men in that community as well. Housing is the key issue there, I think. Access to educational opportunities, job opportunities. But ultimately, I think in the country, we have a significant problem with discrimination and racism towards that community.
There was quotes there from women in the focus group there who had already, I mean, this builds on other surveys. I think 82% of people in a 2017 behaviour and attitudes poll said, we're talking about travellers who knew somebody who was suffering from depression or had an experience of depression. But women talking about getting their children dressed for school in the morning and worrying what they'd go out and face on that day and into their future and into their lives. I mean, how is that going to be addressed? I mean, we've heard public representatives rightly speak out against racism, but it's been talked about as if it's a new thing, and it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we've been talking more about racism recently, I think certainly in the context of immigration and some of the really horrific stuff, the narrative you're seeing online, some of the conversations, but racism towards the traveller community is not new. We've had that issue in the country for a very, very long time. And when you see issues in terms of depression and anxiety and risk to suicide, it stems from the levels of deprivation, poverty, access to healthcare. It's all connected, and housing as well. How do we fix it? I don't think there's any one single stroke that you can do to fix it, but we are going to have to, I think, from an education perspective, at a young age, speak more to children about how we treat others in our community.
Mick Barry.
This report names it. It talks in terms not only of discrimination, but racism. I think that's entirely right. It's calling it by its right name. And I think that Patrick was very clear that that racism exists, not just in the population, but actually stems from, and we've had 100 years of it now with the state, from the state and the establishment in this country itself. And I think what we saw on Saturday was hopefully the beginnings of a very serious anti-racist movement in this country, tens of thousands of people on the streets of Dublin. The immediate issue that provoked that was racism against people of colour, against refugees. But I think that movement needs to really strongly take up the banner of opposing anti-traveller racism and fully involve the traveller community in that movement.
Do you think Irish society is even aware of how racist it is against travellers?
I think that there are different attitudes among different people. I think that a growing minority are aware, but a lot of people aren't. And there needs to be more discussion about this and more traveller voices heard, like we heard tonight on your show.
There's a lot of casual racism, Mark Wall, isn't there, towards travellers, in the way people talk about travellers, in the way people judge travellers?
There is, and it's totally unacceptable. And I just want to acknowledge, as Lisa has done, Senator Eileen Flynn, who's been a terrific advocate. But Mick is right. We need to hear more voices like that. We need to hear more voices through the Rockness and everywhere else. And that's the first stage of where we need to start tackling this problem. And the whole issue here, is, as I see it, Colm, is to try and attract more traveller men. I think there's a huge problem with traveller men. We need to get traveller men specific projects ongoing. I know I've been involved in some of them over the years. And they do make a difference for that cohort of people, and that's what needs to happen. And housing is a huge issue here, and the money that's been sent back by local authorities year after year in relation to not finishing traveller specific housing projects is unacceptable, and that needs to be addressed and addressed quickly.
All right, Adam Higgins.
Patrick gave a really good quote there from the report that says, do we really need more research on this? And from the government's point of view, they don't, because the last mental health minister, Jim Daly, made a point of saying in the Dáil once that there is a mental health crisis among the travelling community. So the government knows this is there. And to Lisa's point that they put a programme in place, the National Traveller Health Strategy, which took 2 years to come to fruition from when this government started. It was launched in November, and we've heard very little about the progress of that. So I think that's something that could be looked at, is how is that doing? How is that going?
Is there funding earmarked in the budget to support that, its implementation?
Well, it's part of the health budget, so I can't tell you exactly how much it's ring fenced, but it is funded, and it is government policy. But that's the core issue, really, is, I suppose, the ingrained discrimination and racism that we have as a society towards the travelling community that needs to be addressed. And, you know, no policy at government level is going to address that. It's about getting in, I think, from a young age into schools, into communities. And just a very good point that was made by both Mark and Mick, it's voices from that community that can articulate the issues that they're facing, as opposed to us talking about them.
How do you educate the older generation?
Well, I mean, the older generation have a lot to offer. Oh, you mean, sorry, the in terms of the settings?
Well, I mean,
community.
You can get to children in school, and you can run anti-racism programmes all you like, but for children between the ages of 5 and 17, 18 years of age. But what about their parents?
Well, look, this is probably a longer term project, and it's about kind of starting, picking a point and starting there. And in time, you'll see this issue being addressed and resolved. A bit like when we're talking about the issues of consent and respect and dignity in terms of, you know, violence against women. We're talking about getting in at school age and acknowledging that it'll be a long-term process to try and address those issues.
Okay.